Even with people now getting vaccinated for COVID-19, the virus continues to disrupt our daily lives. For refugees, that pressure is often compounded. Canopy of Northwest Arkansas is the state's only refugee resettlement agency and offers a range of services to asylum seekers in the region, including education and support for children. Ozarks at Large's Daniel Carruth spoke with Canopy Youth Services Coordinator Danielle Bennett about how the program is helping student refugees navigate a drastically different learning environment.
And so if you can, just kind of take me back to like March of last year when schools started shutting down. How was your program affected in the work that you do? You know, what services did you have to shift or cut or scale back on?
It was the time period where we had to completely flip everything we thought we were going to do. I had just transitioned to this new role for about 2 weeks when everything just got shut down. And so our first priority was the safety and the health and the well-being of our students. And while we know that lower socioeconomic status families are hit the hardest during school closures, we work together with the parents and the teachers to help bridge the opportunity gap for our students. We also knew how important summer programming was, as many students, especially ESL students, experienced summer learning loss. We were thinking of our families who had just arrived in the United States, and then all the schools got shut down. And so that's when we created the Summer Success Program, which was a virtual mentorship between Canopy, volunteers, and students. That was kind of the approach we took, was just shifting everything online to help support our students the best that we could.
Yeah, and you know, I imagine just in a normal year, there are challenges for, you know, helping someone transition from a different country to a new school system or just a new learning environment. What are some of like the normal challenges that most students or families face when they are resettled?
First and foremost, there's some culture shock. There's definitely language barriers, just trying to get used to their surroundings and a different education system, trying to make friends. So normally our programming would really focus on cultural orientation for these students. So we had cooking classes and art projects, and we had mentors for each of the students. We had bonding exercises and soccer and basketball. And so with that being cut off and not being able to have that in-person mentorship was really difficult. And so I think that was probably one of the biggest challenges, is how can we still support our newcomers when we are not able to have that face-to-face interaction that is so important to their transition.
Yeah, and what were some of the ways that you found worked in order to bridge that gap or to make up for the in-person?
Yeah, so I would say checking in with them frequently, working with their parents. We provided them with tools and strategies on online learning at home. So we talked about having earphones. We talked to them about having a quiet space. We talked to them about their sleep schedule. We hosted a few group Zoom sessions to make them comfortable with their new mentors, because that was definitely a challenge. So normally we would be in person and they'd be able to meet their new mentors with me, somebody that they're familiar with. There were added difficulties because some of our students didn't have devices. They didn't have reliable Wi-Fi. So we worked with the school district to get all of our students Chromebooks. We also made sure that all of our students had reliable Wi-Fi. That way we could have a successful program launch virtually.
Right. And then because so much of this is taking place virtually and you're using technology to do that, can you talk a little bit just about some of the barriers for these families, for these students in having access to technology or, you know, working with new technology? Maybe they hadn't used Zoom or some other types of programs before.
When everything started shutting down, our students really did struggle with doing work on the Chromebook. And while many of our families are able to communicate verbally, they are still working on how to read and write in English. And so not being able to be face-to-face with the teacher and being able to verbally communicate, that really created a barrier with many of our students. But yeah, I think the biggest challenge was being able to read the English on the screen and being able to manipulate a Google Classroom, Zoom, email even. Maybe other students, that's something that is natural for them, checking email. But for our students, it's completely new for them.
And then going ahead into this year, are you going to be able to open up any programs or projects for face-to-face? You know, what do you have kind of planned for youth services going forward?
Last semester, we actually did have in-person programming. We had masks at all times. We practiced social distancing. We had a total of 14 students. So half went on Monday and the other half went on Wednesdays. That way we could have three adults present to help with academic support. And while we were still able to keep our group size under 10. For our students who were strictly virtual last semester, we worked one-on-one with them outside of their home with masks on once or twice a week. So this semester, we're going to continue with those 14 students. And we've made sure that the spaces are large enough to be able to socially distance while still keeping our numbers under 10.
And how are students and families kind of coping? 2020 is over, but there's still quite a lot left in 2021 that people are having to navigate. So how are they coping with this situation?
It's not easy. We're dealing with, you know, food insecurity, parents that maybe are being laid off from their jobs. And so from a parent's perspective, while their children's education is very important to them, it may not be a priority for them. And so that's why we try to help and support them and try to bridge that gap for their children and collaborating with their teachers and working closely with the school district. You know, while we share the same, you know, difficulties that other programming does, I think Canopy is really unique with the families and the children that we work with. And, you know, just to let the community know that, you know, our students have added difficulty with language barriers, but yet they're very resilient and they work really hard. And just to see their progress from last semester to this semester with Google Classroom, they're experts on that now. So I'm really proud of them and all of their hard work and their families' perseverance through all of this.
Danielle Bennett is Canopy Youth Services Coordinator. She spoke with Ozarks at Large's Daniel Carruth this week.